Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny out and about at Hyde Social, or we're in Arlington ahead of playoff football. Sunday night, the Commanders in Tampa to take on the Bucks. We've had some listeners come out today who are actually stopping through on their way to the airport to get on the bird to go to the game.
Not bad.
I will be there. Sunday should be a lot of fun to see this team try to strap on the pads and play in its biggest game of the year. I just love the symmetry, the storyline of starting the season in Tampa, getting worked, looking like you're going to be bad, and then you come back to start the playoffs, a different team, all of a sudden the varsity version of yourselves, everybody's matured and grown up, gone through football puberty,
yep,
and now as grown men, you're back in Tampa to prove that wasn't really us. I love this matchup. I love this story.
It's a great measuring stick. I mean, Dan Quinn said all the right things about it. Tampa got the best of them in week number one. They were ready, a veteran team, a defending champ in that division, and Washington was trying to find itself. And, you know, I thought approached the game appropriately. Like, they were cautious. They were, didn't want to put too much on the rookie quarterback's plate because, you know, a classroom is one thing, a VR headset's one thing. But, you know, good against the living is something else, to borrow from Star Wars. That was their first time kind of going about it. And I think after that game, they came through relatively unscathed. Coaching staff and everybody realized, you know what, we really do have something here. We got something special. Let's throw the kid in the deep end. Not only has he swam, but he's gone Michael Phelps on everybody and thrived and is the prohibitive favorite to be the rookie of the year, which is a matter of time before he wins it. So, yeah, you're right. It's a completely different team than they were a few months ago in September when this whole thing got started. They are ready to rock and roll, man.
All right, final predictions. Let's go through all of these games. We will end with the Commanders and the Bucks here, but we got 6 playoff games starting tomorrow with a doubleheader at 4:30 in Houston. So we begin with the Chargers and the Texans. The Chargers are up to a 3-point favorite in some places. I think mostly laying 2.5 here. I like an L.A. cover. I think they play a little bully ball. If they get into obvious passing downs, that's when the Texans can beat teams because they can rush the quarterback. I like the Chargers to stay ahead of the sticks. I think they play close or in the lead for much of the game. And don't look now, but Justin Herbert has had some of his best passing games over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
They're starting to get a little bit more balanced offensively down the field. Give me the Chargers to win this game. I like them 24-17.
So as I was going through all the different games over the course of this weekend, right, I'm going, well, and I ended up with chalk 6 times. When does that happen? You see what I'm saying? This is not a great argument. Because on paper, every time I would sort of crunch my numbers, whatever numbers those are, I would like the Chargers. They're favored for a reason. I think they're the better team right now because Houston hasn't played particularly well as the season has progressed. They've never really sort of found their strength. It feels like somebody is going to do something unexpected this weekend. I don't think it's going to be chalk 6 times out of 6. This is my upset pick. I have no good reason for it. I think Houston finally figures themselves out. Again, they were 10-7, but it feels worse than that over the course of this year, winning that terrible division. I think the Chargers try to become too reliant on bully ball and don't do enough here. I think Houston finally plays a good game for the first time in months and sneaks out with an upset.
Steelers-Ravens on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Pittsburgh is a 9.5-point dog. You know me. Pittsburgh as an underdog, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now, I don't think they win the game outright. I think the Ravens do survive in advance without Zay Flowers. But I am very much a proponent from a betting standpoint, of taking Mike Tomlin in points. And normally that's 2.5, 3, 4 points.
Not 9.5.
You never get Mike Tomlin in 9.5 points. It just doesn't happen. And yet he wins at about an 80% clip as an underdog, especially in these division games. So with that said, give me the Steelers plus 9.5. I do think the Ravens win outright.
I think the Ravens win this game. And I think finally the fact that Pittsburgh has kind of been the sinking ship, not even Tomlin's magic can save them. I think they lose by 10 points, a very, very narrow cover for Baltimore. I think there are too many mistakes, too many turnovers, too many George Pickens pouts for them to kind of overcome some things. So give me the Ravens, 30-20.
First game on Sunday. Staying in the AFC for one more moment. The Denver Broncos hit the road behind rookie quarterback Bo Nix. That is a Washington-like scenario. Nix was really good as a rookie. You know, for as amazing as Jaden Daniels was, and he was the best rookie quarterback in the league this year, he'll win the O'Roy because of it. Everybody kind of had a feeling that that was possible. He won the Heisman, 50 touchdowns, 4 picks in the SEC. He was the best player in the nation a year ago. Bo Nix dealt with a lot of hate. He was never really projected to go in the top 5 or the top 10. When he was taken at 12 by the Broncos, most people were stunned and thought it was a massive overdraft. He finished with 3,800 yards and 29 passing touchdowns this year. That all said, now you got to go up against one of the best teams in ball. In Buffalo, one of the hardest places to play in the winter, to take on Josh Allen, who might win an MVP award, and the Bills, their running back, James Cook, is the number one back in the league in rushing touchdowns this year. They're defensive-minded in that their coach gets a little more out of them than normally there is talent on that end of the ball. Bills laying 8.5 here. I like them to cover this game. I think the Broncos keep it close until late, and then the Bills pull away. I'm going to say this is a 30-20 football game.
Yeah, you've leveled up here, Denver. Adorable, fun, great season. And think of also this, as Bo Nix was getting his feet wet in the NFL, as the struggles were there, he had a game, I think, through early on the season where I think he had like 2 intended air yards over the course of a game where they couldn't even trust him to, you know, to throw the ball 5, 6, 7 yards down the field. Nothing but screens, sideways stuff. The offense looked anemic. Credit to Sean Payton and company. They've really come on. It's a great season for Denver given where they were not that long ago. They nailed that Bo Nix pick, I think 100% right. You've now leveled up, though. Denver got fat beating some bad teams or catching teams at the right time. This is not the right team at the right time. This is in Buffalo. I think the Bills win this one by 17. Give me a 31-14 finish here for Buffalo.
Wow. You think they blow them out?
I think they blow them out. I think that's your wild card weekend blowout.
Broncos are number one in sacks this year defensively and top 3 in scoring defense. That's the only reason I think maybe they keep it close. It's not like the Bills have great weapons around Allen. All right, let's go to the NFC games, starting with game 2 of 3 on Sunday, and that's Packers-Eagles 7-2 matchup, Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. So I've been saying this all day. Nobody else seems to think this. I'm on an island. I think I'm going to be loud wrong probably, but I'm going to stay loud on this. Not only do I like the Packers to cover this game, 4.5 points. I'm going to take Green Bay to win this game outright.
Here we go.
This is my out on a limb, look like a fool prediction. Give me the Packers to run the football effectively and beat the Eagles. Is Philly the better team? Yes, they should win. I just like Green Bay's physicality in the postseason.
Man, would I find that delightful. I would be pumping my fist if that were the case. I like the Eagles 26-23 here. Give me Green Bay with you to keep it close. I don't think their style lends themselves to getting blown out. Whether Jordan Love makes a mistake, here or there, or too many, that may be the way that you end up with a Philadelphia cover. But I think Green Bay is a pain in the butt to play. I think they're frisky. I think they're tough. I think they know exactly who they are. And I think that's a team that's going to give Philadelphia fits. I think the Eagles escape here at home 26-23.
Brings us to the fifth and final game outside of Tampa. And that is the Vikings and the Rams. Remember, we've been talking about this today. This game's moved locations.
Yeah.
It's no longer going to be played in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. Instead, they've moved this game to Phoenix, Arizona. So a neutral site matchup between the Vikings, who are the 5 seed despite having a better record than the Rams, and L.A., the 4 seed. Minnesota, based on being a 14-win non-division champion, is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Total is 47.5, which is second highest to Washington and Tampa, which makes some sense. I think both teams should be able to score points in this game. My pick, Danny, I will lay the number with the Vikings. I think they win by a field goal or more. I could see the Rams winning. I've kind of been talked into all week the idea that the Rams are a good matchup for Minnesota, but I'm going to roll with the better team in the regular season. Darnold having a good game, Jefferson getting his. I like the Vikings 30-24.
I'm going to channel Sean McVay here. We obviously, you know, where our heart goes out to the folks in L.A., we're going to play wherever they tell us to go. We're going to bring our A game in this one. And you got to trust that Sam Darnold's going to go down his leg. That's kind of our major plan here. Do you really trust him to go to a neutral site and do anything positive? I don't. We're going to bring our energy. We're going to attack this breakfast. Give me the Rams. I think they win it. I think it's a little uglier than we think. Rams are going to play more ball control, some of those short passes, more Kyren Williams than you're asking for. I think Sam Darnold has a couple of fatal mistakes. The offense won't get going until late. I think it's a 2016 Rams W.
Did I hear an attack this breakfast?
Yeah. So my Sean McVay bit is that he just, like, gets excited about, like, doing everything correctly.
Okay.
Like, so we're going to have a nap. I want you to attack this nap. Let's have some sound. Outside, some white noise as you kind of take a quick nap, a siesta, wake up in 17 minutes and attack our snack.
I think I like this Sean McVay character.
Sean McVay bit. Yeah. I started off doing a bit like he and Spencer Carberry talking to toddlers.
Yeah.
That's how they sound all the time.
You know? There was a young guy here with his pops who came up to me. He was very tall. He was taller than me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was 13 years old. He just grew like a foot in the last year. And I said, who's your favorite player on the Commanders? He said, well, it would be Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby.
And I said, that's a good answer.
It's a great bit.
He said, but since he's not on our team, he went with Terry McLaurin. But it reminds me of your Sean McVay bit because I think Sean McVay would want to attack Yaya Diaby.
We want to make sure we're obviously attacking Yaya Diaby in space. He's a good football player. He presents a lot of challenges everywhere he goes, both at the buffet and his ability to create havoc to offenses. You got to account for him. He's a pro.
All right, those are our playoff picks on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. All right, with that out of the way then, Danny, why don't we take a look at this Washington matchup? I want to go round the horn here. We can all pick our unsung hero of this game for the Commanders and the Bucks. So you lead us off. Let's try not to make it Jaden Daniels. Or I mean, if you think Daniels is going to go ham sandwich.
But that's not an unsung hero. That's a sung hero.
I'm not your boss. You do what you want, guys. But I think we're trying to go with something interesting here. Who's going to have a bigger game than maybe we'd expect?
The unsung hero, Jeremy Chinn. Big game for Jeremy Chinn. He's going to be a double-digit tackler, both in space on receivers and to Buck Irving. He's going to pick up a fumble or have a tip pass land in his arms or an errant throw from Baker Mayfield. Baker, through and through, guy was second in Rookie of the Year, voting Defensive Rookie of the Year to our very own Chase Young back in the day because a couple plays fell on his lap. That's going to happen this weekend. I think Jeremy Chinn has a very nice game. He's going to have to be involved to slow down this offense.
I like that. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler. I think he catches 7 balls for 75 yards. I think he catches a touchdown in this game. He was named, by the way, today a second-team All-Pro.
Second-team All-Pro, bro.
As a kick returner, but it'll be as a running back where Austin Eckler has his presence felt coming back from the injury last week, 3 carries. I don't know that he's going to carry the ball a lot, but I do think as a receiver, he'll be heavily utilized. And I'll bet you he catches a ball in the first or second play of the game. I think they come out, they try to get Jaden Daniels in the flow, 2 or 3 catches on the opening drive if they can move the ball enough for Eckler would not surprise me at all. So Austin Eckler, big time over in receiving yards. I like him as my unsung hero. What about you, Ryan?
For this game, I've got De'Ami Brown. I think De'Ami Brown scores a big-time touchdown. The Bucs kind of have a beaten-up secondary. They've kind of given up some big plays here as of recent. I can see De'Ami Brown getting open deep, going for like a 40-yard touchdown, maybe make 2 of those as well. I think De'Ami Brown's been pretty explosive, and when you get him the ball, he can do some good things. So I think De'Ami Brown could be our unsung hero against the Bucs.
I actually love the logic, of they might give up a play down the field.
They will.
I mean, they're without one of their safeties. One of the 2 corners that's playing is playing without being 100%. He did catch a 51-yard pass just 2 games ago. He's got 2 games this year where he's caught a 40-yard deep ball. He's kind of the guy they use in that regard, taking the lid off the top. Wouldn't that be something if De'Ami came up huge in his first playoff game here with the Commanders? They made it the year before he got here with Ron Rivera. All right, Darius, your unsung Commander to look out for.
My unsung Commander, everybody's been waiting on him. Luke McCaffrey, I think it might be the time. Now, it might not be on offense. It could be special teams-wise, but I think somehow, some way, Luke McCaffrey needs to be the guy that makes a big, unexpected play to put this team forward and possibly into the divisional round.
Do you know how psyched I'd be, Darius, if Luke McCaffrey scores his first career touchdown?
I've been predicting it since week three.
What if his first touchdown ever is in a playoff game?
What's the thing we have to eat if Luke McCaffrey scores?
When Luke McCaffrey scores, we eat chocolate lava cakes.
That's why I couldn't remember, because we haven't had any chocolate lava cakes all season.
By the way, the idea of a chocolate lava cake right now should make you sick.
Oh, yeah, I'm nauseated.
I mean, just desserts alone, maybe the most I've seen you eat in 4 years.
Yep.
That's before even everything else Chuck brought out.
Yeah.
He told us he was going to bring out the whole menu.
He did.
And I was like, oh, that's funny, Chuck.
Funny, Chuck. Good joke.
And then he brought out the entire menu.
All of it. One.
But we can now say, maybe this was his genius point, we've eaten the whole menu.
Yeah.
When someone says, what did you like? Literally everything.
Everything
on the menu.
Was good. It was so. It's good enough, I'll tell you that despite the fact that I feel terrible and I'm so full and feel like this might be the end.
Okay.
Like I might not be here on
the
my
end
day.
Of what?
Me. I still ate another piece of cheesecake that he brought out. You see what I'm saying? He's right. Like, this is for you. And I was like, oh, okay.
That was after the first cheesecake the ice cream cake.
Yeah.
And the cookie skillet.
So it's the
and the ice cream. What was the thing you did? A float?
The root beer float.
Root beer float.
Has anyone ever, as GLP-1 advertisements, by the way, are on television, has anybody ever eaten so much that they were breathing heavy during the last part of it?
Yes.
I have. It was on Friday, January 10th, 2025.
I got a feeling Danny's going to be back here once or twice.
This place rules.
It's the best. Very, very good. What's your unsung hero from the foods that you ate today?
Great question. Went underreported, the Bang Bang Shrimp, to start. The first thing that went from this hand into this fat mouth was Bang Bang Shrimp. I took one, and then I took more than one
because
it was so
good.
The
spring rolls or the egg rolls?
That's your cheesesteak egg roll.
Cheesesteak egg roll.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You know what I think about those cheesesteak egg rolls?
What's that?
Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby.
Yeah, that's a Yaya Diaby. I'll give that three Yaya Diaby.
What?
Yeah.
You've never given out three before?
Today I am.
Okay.
Toby, unsung hero for the Commanders.
I don't know that we're going to talk about this guy a ton because I think we're not going to be able to notice that the player he's guarding goes off, and that's Mikey Samristil still. The guy that scares me if Tampa wins is Jalen McMillan, and I think if Mikey Sanders still does his job, we don't talk about him at all on Sunday because he doesn't get the ball thrown to Jalen McMillan, and that's how Washington wins.
I like that a lot. By the way, you were looking up numbers at one point this week when I was chatting with you about McMillan moving around and being in the slot more. I mean, the gist is, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's going to line up both outside and inside, but the last couple of weeks with Godwin now injured and out for the second half of the year, he has not been nearly as kind of stationary, right?
Yeah, since the bye week, he's had 36 targets. 14 of them came from the outside, 9 from the slot, 11 from motioning around in different spots. So he's kind of been moved all over the place.
Oof, that makes me worry a little bit about
that. That's only mildly terrifying.
The McMillan Noah Igbinoghene scenario.
Yeah, if you're Liam Cohen, you're going, let me hunt my matchup here. I'll move Jalen McMillan around to do it.
Capitals are in action at home tonight. I'm actually taking the kids out to the game. Why don't we get a Caps power play? Logan Thompson was in net last night for a win, which means it's Charlie Lindgren's net tonight for the Capitals as they take on the Montreal Canadiens. This is just an okay team, 41 points compared to Washington's 58. They're about a .500 hockey team on the road. They're sub .500, but because it's the second night of a back-to-back, gets a little bit tricky for the Capitals. One thing of note, Ethan Frank, a center who's going to wear number 53, will be making his NHL debut. He's the fastest player on the team. He might be the fastest player in the National Hockey League. Very, very exciting debut for the Capitals tonight.
I like that. Now, Montreal overall, to your point, only 41 points, not particularly special. Lee Corso style, not so fast, my friend. They have won 8 of 10. Including, I believe, it's 5 of their last 6. So, of course, which is so annoying, they've been terrible, and all of a sudden now we're playing much better hockey just in time to face my Washington Capitals on the second night of a back-to-back. But this is not a pushover like Quintana and O'Brien.
That is your Caps power play. Which gives us a chance to end the show with our predictions for the Commanders and the Bucks. Danny, what do you got?
Minute 32 to go. The score is tied 20-20. Baker Mayfield in the corner of the end zone. Toe tap Mike Evans. Tampa Bay is going crazy. The entire city, ones of actual Bucks fans, are going nuts. One timeout remaining. Washington ball at their own 25 after not a particularly good kick return. One timeout for Jaden Daniels. They march down the field. A quick throw to Eckler. Quick throw to Ertz. Now you got a first down. Clock is still running. Another throw to Terry McLaurin on a slant. Throw to Eckler. He gets out of bounds, saving the timeout. 31 seconds to go. Washington ball at the Tampa Bay 31. A run for some reason that doesn't go anywhere, followed by a timeout. A couple shots at the end zone with 4 seconds remaining on the clock. Jaden Daniels buys time, slides around. Zach Ertz seals off his defender. Touchdown, the Washington 53. Immediately.
Put two fingers in the air.
Immediately.
Two fingers in the air.
Backwards hatted Dan Quinn. Holds up. Not one, but two fingers.
Two.
The play is already in because Cliff Kingsbury had it in, not his front pocket, right there in his back pocket. The roll to the left. Olamide Zaccheaus sneaking from the other side on the slot. It's a run-pass option. Jaden Daniels opts to pass after drawing the defenders up. Two-point conversion to Zaccheaus is good. 28-27. Washington wins.
Danny Ruye is picking a Commanders win. Hell has frozen over.
Now, here's the thing. Here's why I'm doing it.
24 into 25. It's a new year, people.
Here's why I'm doing it. You've got somebody special on our side. I'm going to borrow somebody special. I'm going to invoke this special person to sort of explain this, if you will. Washington has Jaden Daniels. Do you know who Tampa Bay has? It doesn't matter who they have. We've got Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Turn it sideways. Stick it straight up your candy A. Washington wins.
28-27, locals. Well, shoot, we should have ended with you. Now I feel bad ending the pep rally.
Go ahead, bring it down.
I got the Bucks winning the game 27-23.
Bring the mood down, buddy.
However, toss up. Washington could absolutely win this thing. I think they make one too many plays in the running game with Bucky Irving to get two-dimensional, and then it becomes real difficult to stop them. But I will tell you this. If Washington has the ball in a one-possession game in the final 90 seconds, I will fully expect a win. Because Daniels and this team, even when Daniels wasn't on the field last week, and Marcus Mariota, yes, that Marcus Mariota, when it was him, they still won the game. It's what they do. They're the cardiac Commanders. They are comfortable being uncomfortable. This is a great trait. I give Peters, Quinn mainly, and his entire staff full credit for that. If they have the ball at the end of the game and they're down a few, they go win. But I think they lose 27-23. In this football game.
Wow, wow.
Danny, do yours again. I kid. But you got him winning. I'm proud of you. This is great. I'm excited like you're excited.
Jaden Daniels is here, man. It's not time to ignore that. It's time to embrace it.
I'm happy that he's here. For Ryan, out here with us at Hyde Social, and Darris and Tobes back in the Navy Yard. Grant and Danny saying so long. We got to thank everybody at Hyde Social.
Here, here, Hyde Social.
My goodness. What a time this has been. All the fans that came out all day long to spend their lunch and their dinner with us, the folks out here, Chuck and Dre and the entire crew, they were magnificent. I don't know that we'll ever have left anywhere more full than we are today, but that's out of the kindness of their hearts.
Thank goodness my car is downhill from here.
Or else you would just sleep here. Just lay out a blanket.
I was like, look at the altitude. Look at the climb. I ain't doing it.
I'm headed over to the Caps to kick off a big sports weekend. Next time I chat with you guys will be from Tampa, Florida on Sunday. Enjoy the evening. Thanks for listening to Grant and Danny. It's a playoff weekend.
Here we go.
In D.C.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.